This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu salam baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira thumma ma ba'd. So how many of you visited Medina this year? Have you visited Medina this year? Umrah or Hajj? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the chance to visit again, ya Rabbil Alameen. How was that city in your visit? How did it look like? Beautiful and gorgeous, right? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Do you know that there will be a time when there will be nobody there except for animals? That beautiful city that you've enjoyed, the environment and the weather was just like, wow, it's beautiful. The gathering of the people, it's just like amazing. Every time you hear the adhan, you come down, people walking from all directions, subhanAllah, just like unbelievable. You come into the masjid like a beehive, people reading, praying, amazing. There will be time, at the end of time, as the Prophet ﷺ described, that's going to be one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, which was mentioned, hadith number 1823 from Riyadh al-Salihin. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala speaking on this as one of the last signs of the Day of Judgment, how Medina is going to be empty. And on the site of Medina itself, there will be one of the last events before the whole hour is established. And that is the death of the last two human beings before the Iqamah is established. And he mentioned this hadith, قَالَ وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ يتركون المدينة على خير ما كانت لا يغشاها إلا العوافي. يعني يريد عوافي السماع والطير. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, people will desert al-Madina in spite of it being in better condition, except for the wild beasts and birds. And if you notice right now the way Medina is structured, subhanAllah, and in the past, the entire city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire city, all of its structure, was actually within the masjid campus today. See how the masjid is? How big that is? This is how big the city used to be. If you go out of that city, khalas, you're out of the city limit right now. Anyone remembers Masjid al-Ghamama? Masjid al-Ghamama. Remember the route, the walking route that leads to Quba? When we were walking from there, going to Quba, right on the right side, there was a masjid, a small masjid, right? And when you go on outside of the masjid court, towards the direction, towards the walk to Quba, on the right side, there is a musalla there, our masjid there, called Masjid al-Ghamama, the masjid of the cloud or something like that. Why was it called Masjid al-Ghamama, or why is it so special about this masjid? It was the masjid of Musalla al-Eid. This is where the Prophet ﷺ used to pray Salat al-Eid. And if you remember, where did the Prophet ﷺ take the people for Salat al-Eid? Outdoors. Outside. And for us, it's just in the same campus of the masjid itself, right outside of the masjid court, subhanAllah. That's how small the city used to be. And now, as you can see, Tabarak al-Rahman, people walk from distance, far away in hotels, all around. They walk just to come to pray. So, alhamdulillah, because we have technology, we have cars, you know, we have all these golf carts, people, you know, driving around the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Transportation is easy for people to come frequently. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to keep al-Madinah always full with people for ibadah Rabbil Alameen. But what happens if all this technology is gone? No gas, no fossil fuel, nothing, no planes to fly, and no Tesla, no electricity. Imagine, la qadar Allah, if this happened. Eventually, something like this is going to happen because no matter how much we try, unfortunately, when we consume the resources of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He put for us on earth, or the greed of people end up maybe fighting over these resources with battles that Allah knows what kind of weapons they're going to be using, eventually destroys everything. So therefore, what would happen there? How many people would be living inside Madinat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Until right now, until right before even the kind of like prosperity age in Saudi Arabia at the time, Medina was very small, very, very small. Meaning the population would be just in the few thousands, that's it, maximum. Right now, mashallah, a lot of people live there in Medina. So the time might be coming again where the population of Medina will dwindle down back again to that small number. But the Prophet ﷺ says there will be a time when Medina will be in the best condition. Like still, Medina is still in the best condition. Alhamdulillah, the masjid is good, the community is good, but not as big as it used to be, probably. Then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people desert in Medina. Now, why would people desert Medina anyway? Even though the Prophet mentioned the hadith, قال, وَالْمَدِينَةُ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, and Medina is better for them if they just if they would know that. Like if they just keep that in their mind. He mentioned that, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the conquest began, or at least prophecy of the conquest, when he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, قال, تُفْتَحُ الشَّامُ, and he said, تُفْتَحُ الْيَمَنُ وَتُفْتَحُ الْعِرَاقُ تُفْتَحُ, he said, these countries will be open, will be conquered. Yemen, Syria, and Iraq, and so on, be conquered. And people will be flourishing, will be running towards them. They're going to leave and just go to live there. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, قال, وَالْمَدِينَةُ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. But if they stay in Medina, it's better for them. If they just can't heed that moment, it's better for them to stay in Medina. That's what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was recommending for the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or at least the Ummah back then. Eventually, why would people desert Medina at the end of time? So there are a lot of theories, a lot of interpretation from the ulama. Some of the ulama, they say, the reason for that is because of the dhulm of the hukam, the injustice that will come from the rulers at that time. So they will kind of like take people out of the city and keep, you know, deporting people out. Who's going to stay there? Medina without Hajj and Umrah, by the way, doesn't have much resources. And that's why it's always been occupied with a small number of people. But with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being bestowed upon the city and the country, thousands and hundreds of thousands starts coming to the area. So does that mean people are going to start leaving? That's another interpretation, because the resources will start dwindling down again, become very limited, and people, they had to leave. So start leaving because they can't live anymore. Imagine if the whole hospitality industry, hotel industry, all collapses. Because no one is flying, no one is coming in. So who's going to hire these people? And there's no resources to pay these people. So what are they going to do? Start leaving the city. Looking somewhere else for jobs. SubhanAllah. So that's another reason actually why it could happen. And other, they say, no, it actually happens right before the end of time when people yuhsharun. As in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, a fire from Yemen that would be so massive, تَحْشُرُ النَّاسِ, so start taking the people towards Mahshar in Ash-Sham. So people start leaving towards, actually, to the north. So they're leaving to the north. So probably that was the time when the people leave Medina towards the north as one of the last signs of the Day of Judgment. Then he mentioned, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a result, because now it's empty, because it's empty right now, only the wild animals and wild beasts will be going around. Probably when you went to Umrah, you haven't seen wild beasts over there. Maybe except for cats and kittens, right? All over Medina. But besides that, there are a lot of wild animals in the mountains and the desert as well too. Even in the past, they had lions actually in the Arabian Peninsula, if you don't know that. They had lions and mountain lions as well too. So this is probably the reason why they start flourishing again, coming down to the city itself. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر من يحشر رعيان من مزينة. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then the last hour will happen upon two shepherds of the tribe of Muzayna. Muzayna is one of the tribes from Mudar, a special actually area in the Arabian Peninsula. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were shepherds, and they were bringing their flocks to the city of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's what people usually do. They graze the animals in the countryside, and then they come to the city to sell them and trade and so on. He goes, قال, so these two shepherds coming back to the city with their flocks, and ينعقان بغنمهما, they were driving their sheep, but will find it full of wild beasts, and they will find nothing. فيجدونها وحوشا, they find the city, whether they find the city deserted, or they find wild beasts. And some ulama, they said in Tafsir Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, he said perhaps the shepherds, they noticed the behavior of their flock to be off a little bit. Like they said, they found their flock to be off. It's not behaving as it should be or as usual. Something concerned them, basically. Something concerns them. And as a result, قال حتى إذا بلغ ثنية الوداع خر على وجوههما. He said, so as a result, they keep moving up north. So they leave the city, they go up north until they reach ثنية الوداع. Maybe you heard the word ثنية الوداع or in a very popular song. طالع البدر علينا من ثنية الوداع, right? ثنية الوداع, it's more of like a hill, a hill that is in the north of Medina on the way to Uhud. That's when people used to travel. They travel from that direction. Currently, Thaniyatul Wada is within the city limit of Medina to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Back then it was way out. But now it's like within the city of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, when they arrive at Thaniyatul Wada, kharra ala wujuhihima, they will fall on their faces, which means what? Dead. And that will be the last two people to die before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the order for the hour to be established, as one of the popular opinions on the meaning of hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy in all of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Because I don't want you to be on that moment, Ya Jama'ah. It's not right, the right time to be, say alive. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا تَقُمُ السَّاعَ إِلَّا عَلَى شِرَارِ الْخَلْقِ. The hour will not be established except on the worst people. So maybe there was, Allahu A'lam, they say, maybe the last of the last two good people that were left on earth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the hour to be established. And how about the other? How did they die? The Prophet has mentioned the hadith. Before the day of judgment, Allah will send a wind, rih, like a breeze. And that breeze, the believers will breathe that breeze that caused them to die peacefully before Allah subhanahu give the order for the day of judgment to be established. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that day, Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? Yes. So the question is about Dajjal, because the Dajjal we're not going to be coming into Medina. So is there a time frame between Dajjal's arrival and then that time? Well, the ulama, they give estimates, really. Nothing conclusive from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some they say 40 years. But is that enough to say 40 years from the time of Dajjal, Isa alayhi salam, and then he dies, and then that's happened in Medina? Allahu ta'ala. But there is no conclusive time frame between the two. Way after the Dajjal. Yes. So would that incident happen after the blowing of the trumpet, which is basically the asur? The answer is that's going to be happening before. They will die, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the angel to blow into the asur and the trumpet, and as a result, the whole qiyamah starts. Na'am. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.